Father, I thank you, Lord, for as always, we have gathered here this morning in fellowship. As it is written, they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine and in prayers and in fellowship and in breaking of bread. So, Lord, we thank you. Break unto us, O Lord, today the bread of life. Hallelujah. And we say and declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Therefore, Lord, as we stand in the message of the Lord, glorify thyself, speak to every heart in the name of Jesus. And to those to whom this message appertaineth, well, they will receive it. Praise the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are still on the series of Be Also Ready. The coming of the Lord is near. This is part 5. And I want to read some prophetic words from some of our writings of Brother Neil Frisby from years ago and some other prophetic writings that relate to the end of time and some powerful prophecies of what to expect. Praise the Lord. So, first, let me start off by saying, here's a quote. We are entering an hour of absolute urgency. God will give us guidance through the scriptures, but he will also reveal his plans through divine providence and various gifts of the Spirit. Supernatural leading shall appear through word of knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, vision and dreams, and a heavy anointing will generally accompany it. This is the hour of full restoration. So be ready, he says. His eyes on those who are watching. And he said the elect will be called into position by the Spirit of God. Just like he positioned the creation so that it walks in unison. Like the vault of the heavens in his majestic awe or aura, twinkling radiances of light, stars in obedience to God. Now, the true gifts of the Spirit will come into prominence again among his elect. Not lying wonders, but the true gifts of the Spirit. But this time, they will abide more in his word concerning all things. God's next move is to bring his bride into razor sharpness, perfecting them in this word, mysteries, and spirits. We are at the time wherein Paul wrote, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3 and 14. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, that basically encapsulates what we have been saying. For those of you who are familiar with his writings, this is taken from the Book of Letters, page 40, if you want to look it up. But this was written many, many years ago, you know, probably in the early 80s or late 70s, maybe early 80s, this particular letter. But you can just see how it captures the essence of what we are talking about. Entering into an hour of absolute urgency, he says. So God will now give us guidance, more so through the scriptures, reveal his plans through divine providence, and also the various gifts of the Spirit. Supernatural leading will appear. God will begin to move again mightily among the elect, wherever they are gathered. Praise the Lord. Even, you know, virtually like this, you know, God is ready and he's poised to do something unique. I mean, those who miss it will miss something, you know, because, you know, God has been preparing us and now will unleash his spirit. We're told about the seven lamps of fire that are coming upon God's elect at this time. Well, the lukewarm will not be able to stand it, unfortunately. God will scorch their knees with the fire of God. They can't do it, and they can't stand it, you know. And the anointing will get strong, very strong at times, that you will even feel it tangibly upon you, where you are, in your rooms, your homes, your on your jobs, everywhere. You begin to feel the moving of his presence, the angel of the Lord, and coming in a powerful, powerful visitation to his people. And God is calling his elect into position. Well, you know, what else can we say that other than the fact that he is preparing his elect and moving us into that place of glorious shining. Say a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. This is what he is doing. Now, let me read further. He says, expectancy, or the expectation, is that we will have an unprecedented revival among the elect. Gifts of unparalleled boldness and fervency will prevail among the elect. Now, so if we are moving into a time of unprecedented revival, well, better get yourself ready, you know, because the wheels of God are spinning. Listen to this. Yea, saith the Lord, this is the hour that I will move upon my children to take advantage of the things promised them. Now, that's written by the spirit of prophecy on this letter. Truly, in this hour, I am calling my elect together, but not through man's systems. And after I have united my own together spiritually, I will do a powerful work through them, which the world has never seen. And they shall testify. You know, the one who say, the Lord healeth all them that believe. Another one will shout, my eye had been replaced. Another one will claim, you know, that God had created a finger and, you know, cancer is gone. Leukemia is gone. You know, and all these things. They will just be shouting the victory of the Lord. And they shall say, even the dead living again. Behold, a wondrous visitation shall be poured out upon my people, and I will walk among them, saith the Lord. My elect, even like the fire in the field when it is lit. Yea, I will do a quick, short walk. Praise the Lord. Now, God's not going to allow this last revival to be apostatized, just like all other revivals in the past. You know, it lasts long enough. People begin to do other things and add to the move of the Spirit of God and begin to take glory to themselves, etc. You know, and you do that enough times, you know, you grieve the Holy Spirit and he steps aside and then let man's system do their thing. You know, that's the way it's been all the time, over and over again. But this time around, God is going to make it quick. Praise God. Actually, you're going to catch a lot of people unawares. But those who are ready, you know, just like we have been talking about in this series, some people are making preparation, getting their lamps trimmed, getting more oil. This is the time to get that oil. This is the time to get that lamp trimmed. You know, because if you wait until it's too late and then you go and be looking for it later on, well, you know, it might be just too late. Praise the Lord. the cloud and pillar of fire phenomena will return again at the midnight hour. Written on the scroll number 24. This cloud that rested on and went before elective Israel back then will now cover the bride of Christ again and separate them from the foolish and the world. Remember, some were foolish and some were wise. In other words, the anointing that the Lord will now bring upon his people will be so strong that it will be seen at times even like a cloud. Now, it gives a warning here. It says, now everyone that is outside this dynamic haze of power will miss the rapture. My goodness. You know, God will cover his saints and he will draw them into his wheel of destiny. That's where they will be. Now, you know, it doesn't mean necessarily that all the time you will see the glory cloud or the fire, but at times many will see it and it will in the night shine like fire. You know, God did it for elective Israel when they came out of Egypt. They were led by the pillar of cloud in the day, and in the night it was shining like fire. And God did it then. He'll do it again. In the book of Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 5, we are told, upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon all her assemblies. So every time we gather together, this visitation is coming. Glory to God. Now, that's why God said, do not forsake assembling together of one another. What's coming? The glory of the Lord, a cloudy pillar by day, is coming again. And the appearance of the shining of the flaming fire by night. Glory to God. Let's read it for ourselves. And the Lord, Isaiah 4 and verse 5, will create. See, it's something new. That's why he will create it. It's something new that he will do. He will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, in your homes, everywhere. You know, wherever the people of God are gathered, there will this presence also be. He'll create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Remember, we've already proven who the spiritual Mount Zion is. You know, we read it in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 26. We've proven that already. And we are the spiritual Zion. And upon all her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day. Now, this is point blank. The Lord will do this thing. Now, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. Why? Well, this is the separating hour. That's why God is going to do it. And God's going to put it, this glory upon them for a defense and a separation. And separate them from the world and the foolish. And that's us. Everyone that's truly in the elect of God at the end of the age, following the true word of God, not lying signs and wonders. God will bring his true signs and wonders again. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow, a daytime from the heat, and a place of refuge and a covert from storm and from rain. Well, that tabernacle is the presence of the Lord. It's coming upon us again. Praise the Lord. I want to read a powerful prophecy that was written around 1679. I mean, you know what that means? That means in the 17th century, many, many thousands of years ago. Now, Neil Frisby did not write this prophecy initially, but he rewrote it on what we call Scroll 51. And I want to read some of it to you because this is what we are expecting in this lifetime. And this was written by a woman called Jane Lead. That Lead is spelled L-E-A-D-E. You know, way back when. You can Google her on your own. I don't want to talk about her history. I just want to talk about her writings. So something significant that she wrote. And she states, by the Spirit of God, there shall be a total and full redemption by Christ. This is a hidden mystery not to be understood without the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at hand, though, to reveal the same to all holy seekers and loving inquirers. The completion of such a redemption, now he's talking about a total and full redemption are coming upon the elect of God at the end. Wow. The completion of such a redemption is currently withheld and abstracted by the apocalyptical seals. That means the seals of the book of Revelation. Now, remember, there appeared a vision to John, and he saw one sitting upon the throne, Revelation chapter 5. And he saw in his hand a book that was written within, of course, a book has contents. But on the backside, the book had seven seals. And he was wondering, who's going to open them? In fact, somebody made a proclamation. Who is worthy to step up, take this book, open it, and tell us the contents? And nobody was found worthy. So John began to cry. He cried very much until somebody said, it's okay. That one figure has prevailed. And he said, the Lion of Judah has prevailed. And when he was looking for the lion, he turned around. What he saw was a bloody lamb. And the lamb rose up and took the book. And as he began to, once he took the book, everybody began to sing, thou art worthy to take the book. Yeah. And to, you know, open the seals because you have prevailed. And then as he began to open the seals, a lot of things were revealed to John and began to write. Now, the opening, as the Spirit of God shall open up seal after seal, John was enacting the things that will take place again, because John was told, thou must prophesy again and again before nations and so forth. Well, as the Spirit of God shall open seal after seal, so shall this redemption come to be revealed, both particularly and universally. Now, in the gradual opening of the mystery of redemption in Christ, that's where you will find unsearchable wisdom of God, which may continually reveal new and fresh things to the worthy seeker. In other words, every time you hear the wisdom of God, especially when we're talking about these things, you have the ability. I mean, you will receive the ability. If you are someone that really wants to know, you receive the ability to obtain fresh and new things from God. Now, in order, there is an ark of testimony in heaven. He said that ark shall be opened before the end of this age, and the living testimony therein contained shall be unsealed. The presence of this divine ark will constitute the life of this virgin church. Now, virgin means they're not contaminated. you know, by the systems of the world, you know, and they are not contaminated by religion. Now, wherever this body is, there must of necessity this ark of God's divine presence be upon them as well. This unsealing of the living testimony from within the ark of God will proclaim and will begin the proclamation of this everlasting gospel of the kingdom. Again, at the end, remember, we will talk at times about the gospel of the kingdom. Not just anything that anybody wants to preach, but the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24 and 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all the nations, and then shall the end come. Well, as we are starting to preach the gospel of the kingdom, we know that we are close to the end. The proclamation of this testimony will be as a sounding of a trumpet that will alarm the nations that the real elect of God is here. That's right. Authority shall be given by Christ for the putting an end to all controversies concerning the true church that is born of the new Jerusalem mother. It's a profound prophecy. This decision by God will be the actual sealing of the body of Christ with the name and authority of God, giving them a commission to act by the same. Well, Jesus already did that. Go in my name and do these things, Jesus said. He gave us power of attorney. Now, this name, authority of Christ upon them, will distinguish them from Babylon. Now, the election and preparation of this virgin church is to be after a secret and hidden manner. Remember, this was written in 1679. Some of the things I am saying as future here have already been happening. It's just like when you read the book of Revelation. John was told, he said, the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which are yet to be, write them in a book and send them to the seven churches. Well, some of the things that were at the time of John future are no longer future, you know, because that was thousands of years ago. So even some of the things in this prophecy, no matter how profound it is, talking about the end, some of them are already happening, you know, like talking about, you know, the preparation of the virgin church, it's been going on for decades now. It's not just starting to happen. It's been happening, you know. Now, as David in his ministry, you know, was chosen, and the calling of David was chosen, was anointed by the prophet of the Lord, yet he was not admitted to the outward profession of the kingdom for a considerable time afterward. I mean, you know the story of David. You know, Samuel anointed him, but it took many, many years. Anointed him king. It took many years before he could get into the, you know, throne, you know, eventually. And say, well, in the same way, there's going to be something that will happen. That was a type of something else that will happen, it says. Of the stem of David. Remember, Jesus himself called the son of David. Now, of the stem of David, a virgin church, which will know nothing of man's systems and man's constitution or religion, is to be born. And it will require some time for it to get out of the minority and arrive at full maturity. Well, that time has been happening. In our generation, we have been hearing messages such as this, preparing us. And at the end, God is bringing them again, such as what we are hearing now. Prepare us. in the book of Amos, chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. This is the prophecy that was given concerning how God will revive the spirit of David upon some chosen ones at the end. It's called the Tabernacle of David. Well, let's read it. Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. In that day, whenever you hear that, well, you can apply it to our time. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. See? And close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins. And I will build it again as in the days of old. And one thing that was peculiar about David was the mantle of praising the Lord. None like it in that Bible. I mean, all the accolades that he used to ascribe to the Lord. My God, my rock, my fortress, my salvation, my deliverer, my healer, my hiding place. You know, and he will go on and on and on. I mean, the way he praised the Lord caused God at times to respond by standing up. In Psalm 18, you read that. He will stand up, he will blast with his nostrils, he will thunder from the heavens. Because this man, he knew how to get God's attention. You know, and that kind of power with God through praising the Lord, you know, has diminished. We don't have that kind of clout anymore. I mean, people are not using that to their advantage, but it's returning at the end. Those that really know how to get in under the cloud of praise can really move the hands of God. When we enter into his presence with thanksgiving, we come into his courts with praise. When we thank him for what he has already done, well, you know, then that power to move anything will be at your bidding when you have learned the secret of praise. He goes on to say, you know, that the birth of this virgin church was typified by St. John's vision, where the great wonder appeared in heaven. That's in Revelation chapter 12. Bringing forth her firstborn that was caught up to the throne of God, or identified with God's authority. For as a virgin woman brought forth Christ after the flesh, so also shall a virgin church bring forth this firstborn, this elect group, you know, after the Spirit. Well, they are really part of the church, but they are separate. Just like, you know, the child that was in Mary's womb was part of Mary, but at a point was separated, you know, and born and came forth. And they will be endowed the characteristics of this group at the end, of which you and I are a part, will be endowed with the seven spirits of God. Isn't that beautiful? Power of God, seven lamps of fire. Now, in the past, every time we read these prophecies, I mean, I've been reading them since the 70s. You know, some of the old timers who have been around when we started hearing end time messages, we were reading some of these things from mid 70s. We've been hearing about them, reading them. Some prophets are prophesying, even Neil Frisbee himself, are prophesying these things that it'll come. But the problem with all of that was everybody was always prophesying it as future. You know, well, it would say, even if Frisbee would say, the elect, you know, we talk about them as if it was some future thing. Well, maybe it was future for him, but not future for us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is upon us now. All you got to do is look around you. You don't even have to look very far. Turn on the TV. Yeah, the news, look around you, see all the happenings. Your handwriting is on the wall. Well, There are two kinds of handwriting that are on the wall now. There's a handwriting of doom that is upon the world. The systems of this world, as I often say, at best, are doomed for destruction. Because Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 talks about it. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom that shall not be given to any other but the people of God. And this kingdom will destroy all the other systems and kingdoms that were before it. And so, you know, that's the future of the world systems and religion. They will be destroyed. But God will set up a kingdom that will not be destroyed. Now, if you look at it really, another handwriting is on the wall, wherein God says, it is time. You know, my words which I have spoken to you shall no more be delayed, but it shall come to pass in your days. Ezekiel 12, 25 and 28. In your days, so I've spoken the word, and in your days will I also bring it to pass. And ye shall no more use this proverb that, oh, the thing is delayed. Oh, it is future. We've been talking about it being future since the 70s. Enough of that already. It's not future anymore. It's right here with us. And if you are still thinking it's future, you are going to miss it. And you're already missing it because it's happening already. God is reawakening a fire inside of the true elect, you know, and they will not settle for man's systems or the word of man or lying signs and wonders. They will not settle for that. The elect of God at the end of the age, we will know and have true discernment, you know, and he says, well, it'll be that this group at the end will be produced from within the church, but it'll be a virgin church that will bring forth this group. We call it the group, the man child at times, you know, because Revelation 12 verse 5 talks about it. So this woman pained to be delivered. Well, there's birth pains that are going on right now. Some of the things that you are experiencing, hardships that are pressing, it's like, you know, God is subjecting the elect, allowing it them to go through the wine press. You've got to press that wine. I mean, those grapes. Press under tremendous pressure. That's when the juice flows. Praise God. You know, so at the end, we shall see it all. And we are here now at the end. Now, the writer of this prophecy says, there is not at this day, 1679, visible upon the earth such a church. Well, that was then. This church is here now. I mean, many centuries later, we are here. He said, at that time, all profession was found light when weighed in the balances. Therefore, they are rejected or have been rejected by the Supreme Judge. Now, this rejection will be for the cause that out of them shall come forth a new glorious church. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Then shall the glory of God and the Lamb so rest upon this new tabernacle of David, and it shall be called the tabernacle of wisdom. And even though it is not now known or visible, at that time it wasn't, yet it shall be seen as coming out of the wilderness within a short time. Praise the Lord. Now, wherefore the spirit of David shall revive in this blossoming root. What was the spirit of David? Well, apart from praising the Lord like nobody else knows how, what else was unique about this David? This was a man that would not be denied. You couldn't take his one of his sheep from his flock and get away with it. Oh no. He would lay down his life for that flock. And as a young man, a teenager even, he was despised, rejected, subjected to many things. Usually you have a group of shepherds that will be watching flocks in the wilderness. Even at the time of Jesus' birth, we're told that there was a group of shepherds watching their flock by night, and the angel came upon them and made some announcements. You don't send one young man by himself into the bush against all those wild animals that may try to come against the flock. But that was his plight. But nevertheless, he was more than a conqueror against the lion and against the bear. And this was the man also, a young man, that where everybody else thought they couldn't do it. That we can't go up against Goliath. Have you heard the fame of this man? What he has done in the regions all around? How that he's a champion from his youth and nobody could stand before him. And now he has come to defy the armies of Israel. That's what they said. But David said, well, this man has come to defy the armies of the living God. Whereas they were thinking natural, David already stepped it up into the spiritual. And this was the kind of man he was. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. Today, when people think of David, in fact, what will be reported about him was, you know, his business with Bathsheba and Uriah. That's what people think. Well, that's people. That's not what God thinks of this man. God chose this man's throne to set upon. And God will set upon because he repented. God dealt with him and punished him for it. And he repented. And as soon as he repented of that and God dealt with him, it was over. That's it. God's not talking about it anymore. You are the ones still thinking of David like that. God's not thinking of David like that anymore. This is the problem with people. All that people see in others is the wrong thing that they've ever done. God's not looking at that. God's gone beyond that. Here's God's question to you today, anybody that listen to this. The question is not what you've done and where you've been. It's what are you going to do next? That's always God's question. What are you going to do next? Moses, he killed somebody, ran away for years. He thought he put it behind him. And as far as God was concerned, I mean, Egypt was still looking for him. He was a wanted man. There was a warrant out for his arrest. And anytime he showed up in Egypt, he would be in real trouble. But when he showed up on Mount Horeb, the Lord wasn't even talking about that. What the Lord was talking about, though, was, what are you going to do next? See, I've got something for you to do next. Not that thing that you're running away from. God wasn't talking about that one. What are you going to do next? And listen to this story of Moses. When he came to Mount Horeb, he was standing on the ground there in Exodus chapter 3. As far as Moses was concerned, he was standing on dirt. He was standing on the ground that had probably rubbish, leaves, maybe all kinds of things. Maybe even lizards or things crawling around. I mean, just nothing. I mean, it looked like rubbish and dirt and stuff to him. But in one moment, all of that looked like rubbish and dirt and nonsense, God called it holy ground. Because of the presence of God. See, when God comes into a life, it's called holy ground. And God not coming into anything that's unholy. If you have the spirit of living God in you, you are holy ground. You are holy temple. And don't be worrying about that past. You got to repent of it and do a 180. And that's the end of it. You know, people will still try to bring it up into your face. But that's the end of it. God's not, you know, now, it's only a problem if you don't repent. Because whosoever hideth his sin shall not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh it, he shall have mercy. So, if you confess it and forsake it, well, God's no longer talking about it. He said, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, what God wants is, what are you going to do next? So, when God chose David, and even all of the time, and eventually when he fell, did all that nonsense that he did, even up to the point of murder, God dealt with it. But after that, that's it. That's not talking about that anymore. So you don't be talking about that anymore when you talk about David. Now, David was a man that was chosen, and he went up against the devil in the Goliath. And he knew how to pick out his stones. He knew how to use his sling, come out against that devil. My goodness. And he would not back down. Now, God's going to raise up that spirit again. He called it the tabernacle of David. He said, I will revive the spirit of the just ones, even the tabernacle that's broken down. I will revive them. And God will raise up people that will be able to stand under God, just like David. Praise the Lord. Now, this prophecy is very long. I'm going to skip some part of it, but I'm going to read to you, you know, this. He said, wherefore the spirit of David will revive in this blossoming root. The elect of God, we will have power and might given to us to overcome the dragon and his angels. Actually, Jesus already did that. Jesus said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. I mean, you don't need a prophecy like this to remind, to tell you anything. Jesus already said it, but it's a good reminder, you know, and, you know, he said, you know, these people, they are able to, David was able to overcome Goliath and the Philistine army. Even so, we, the elect of God, we overcome that dragon. How do you do it? Overcome that devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You testify such things as, I am going all the way by the grace of God. Can't, don't even try. You discourage me. I can't do it. You know, we said, Peter said, where shall we go? And Jesus said, look, are you also going to turn back? I said, well, turn back to where? You are the one that have the word of living life, the words of life. You have it. You know, where can we turn to? No, you couldn't cut us loose even if you tried. You know, Ruth, you know, and Naomi, a story, there was nothing that Naomi could do to cut her loose. Go back, she said. No, the woman said, no way. You know, I'm going all the way. Don't even try to persuade me to turn back. I'm going all the way. Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Hallelujah. She was sold out. I'm not turning back. You can't even do it. So don't even try. Glory to God. Now, is that your testimony? Are you also sold out for Christ? You know, do you know that you are able to go all the way without turning back? Not in your own power. We say this, even though we don't speak, it doesn't mean it's our own strength. But it's the strength of the Lord that's in us. Because he that is in us is greater than he that is without. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to turn back? Or are you going to go all the way? Are you going to be unbelieving and not sanctify the word of God in your heart? This is the reason why people could not enter into the promised land. And do you know that many of us who in the 70s, mid 70s, late 70s, early 80s, were shouting and rejoicing about this promise of great outpouring and great revival that will sweep the bride into heaven. Many are falling away. Not just physically falling asleep. Those who fell asleep in Christ, that's good. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're talking about some have actually fallen backwards, you know, in their faith. You know, they were waiting and they got weary. Yeah. And they slumbered, they slept, and they did not get out of their slumber. When there was a wake up call, they still were not ready. And these things that we are hearing today is to get us out of slumber. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says this. He said, you know, and you know, this slumber and this sleep is a way, there's a way that it creeps in. He said, awake, thou that sleepest. See, first of all, it starts with a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the arms. That's what it says in Proverbs. You know, now, awake, thou that sleepest. Ephesians 5 and 14. And arise from their dead. You know, it was, they started by sleeping, now they're dead. You know, a little spiritual slumber and sleep eventually ends up in spiritual death because they're just sleeping dead. They can't come out of it. So, wherefore the Holy Spirit says, awake and arise from this dead state and Christ shall give you life. Glory to God. Praise God. Therefore, this clarion call out to you is to awake. There are many exciting things that God has promised us. And God has promised it for you. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3, you know, tells you that this promise is for you first, and then for your children, and for all, as many as the Lord shall call, whether they are near or afar off. You know, it's for you. You start out by receiving this promise for yourself. Glory to God. You know, that's it. You must receive the promise for yourself. And then, you know, you pass it on to your children. You pass it on to everybody else. You say, what shall we do to be saved? Well, and Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. This is Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. He said, well, repent, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And verse 39 of Acts 2 says, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And this promise of a great revival and a great awakening is coming upon you. You say, well, you know, I've never really experienced the Lord in that way. Well, never mind about that. I will do a new thing, and shall ye not know it? It shall even spring forth. Hallelujah. So it's not because you've experienced it before or you haven't experienced it before. It's because God promised it and it is coming. Praise the Lord. And when God brings it, when it starts, it's going to be coming in like a flood. The Lord sweareth in truth and righteousness that from Abraham's line, according to the Spirit, there shall be a holy priesthood and a holy seed, which will be produced and manifested in the last age. Well, you know, 3 centuries or so ago, this was being written, and here we are, and it's happening right now. And who are doing the production? Well, the Spirit of God through the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and the teachers. We talked about that yesterday. I call them factory workers. And they've got to put that together and roll it out of the assembly line. And what's coming out of the assembly line? The world is waiting. Well, let's read what the world is waiting for. Romans chapter 8. It talks about these manifestations. You know, the earnest expectation of the creature. Romans 8 and 19. The whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Well, let me tell you a little bit about why that's the case. You have to go to the beginning to understand it. The son of God, Adam, according to Luke 3 and 38, Adam was called the son of God. He was the one that put everything into alignment to begin with. And they looked to Adam and they were enlightened when the glory was upon him. When he lost the glory, well, anarchy set in. Everything became wild. Wild plants, wild animals, wild this, wild that. God never created anything wild. When he did, it was very beautiful, we're told. So, at the end, there must be a restoration. And again, it will be the sons of God that will take charge. So, creation is waiting. You know, it's not exactly apostles that we're waiting for. We have a lot of those. It's not exactly prophets that we're waiting for. Hundreds and thousands of those. Pastors, shoot. You know, you have even more of those. I have all these numbers, but the world saw one son of God, one in Christ, just one. Look at all he did. Just one person. You know, till this day, even history is written after. It's either before Christ or after Christ, BC or AD. You know, that's just one. And Jesus said in John, you know, chapter 14 and verse 12, he says this unto us, you know, this is for us. It's for anybody in any church age that can believe this, can do the same. Verily, verily, when Jesus says that verily two times like that, he's emphasizing what he's about to say. Verily, or underscoring it, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Well, let's stop right there. Do you believe on Christ? If you believe on Christ, then let's see whatever he's about to say now applies to you. It applies to me because he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now he's going to say some things about such a person. Let's find out what such a person can be. Well, the works that I do, shall such a person do also. Hey, glory to God. And greater works than these shall he do also. First he will do the same, then he will do much more, greater in quantity. That's the word that's used here, not quality. No disciple is above the master, right? Luke 6 and 40. We've been talking about that throughout this series. So you cannot be better than the master. When you are perfect, you'll be like the master. That's a height that the disciple can be. It's be like the master. You can't be better. So you can do greater in terms of quality, but you can do greater in terms of quantity because I go to the Father, because my time is limited. You have more time to do more stuff. And you know, that's what Jesus is saying. And, well, we need to start by doing, you got to see yourself as exactly that. And so you step in and step out, you know, begin to do these things. You know, you do these things. Doesn't matter that you, I mean, you don't need to go and fast for 21 days first or 40 days first before you do it. You step out by faith. Now, fasting and prayer is great. I love that and I do that all the time. But that's not it. It is he that believeth on me. Well, if you believe on him, then you step out and do these things that Christ did. You know, and let the glory of Christ come upon you visibly, you know, and you will see it too. Praise God. Now it says all of these promises are given and we will be able to recognize the true church. He said, these, there are characteristics and marks whereby the pure virgin church, that's what this person writing this prophecy chose to call them. Well, some people call them elect, to call them the bride, call them whatever. But this group that she was referring to, which is us at the end of the age, well, scripture says, they without us that went before should not be made perfect. So we are right here. These are things that would distinguish them from all others. There will be an unction, you know, and a true sound of the Holy Spirit among them to distinguish them from all such that are low, false, and counterfeit. There will be a manifestation of the Spirit among them, edify them when they gather together. And it will be like bringing heaven down on them, you know, and they will be representing Christ. We are ambassadors for him. We are born to represent. They will represent their head, which is Christ. And they receive their instructions directly from the Spirit of God and do the things that align with his will. Now, he says, none but those who have learned to ascend into his presence can also know how to communicate the same. Now, so God will go in to furnish some priests under him at the end. Furnish them with his anointing. He will make them principal instruments. Now, of course, they will be humble and little regarded as David at the beginning, but God will dignify and honor them with priestly sovereignty to draw to them the scattered flocks, gather them into one fold out of all the nations. Did not Jesus say, other sheep I have that are not yet of this fold, them also must I bring, and there may be one fold and one shepherd? He said, well, therefore there shall be a holy ambition stirred up among the bands of believers everywhere. And this holy ambition is what we are stirring up by these messages, that they may be, they want to be first fruits unto him that is risen from the dead. They want to be principal agents. There's an ambition inside of us to be like that and to be among the number of the firstborn. Praise the Lord. You know, now, do you have that ambition being stirred up in you? I mean, when you hear words like this, there was a story in Luke chapter 24. Jesus appeared to two disciples after the resurrection that were going to a place called Emmaus. They didn't know he was Christ, and he would just appear unto them as they were talking. And he started to say some things to them. And then finally, when he revealed himself, broke bread, and their eyes were open, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke with us along the way? Well, you know, these kinds of words and messages are designed from the Lord to excite something in us, awake something, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, these are the things that should excite you, not your next car, your next house, your next promotion. Jesus said, Jesus was never excited about those things, never really even cared. He knew that he had command of those things when he needed them. It didn't bother him at all, you know, but he wasn't focused on those things. And he told them, look, then let that be your focus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these other things will be added. Do you know that if you literally practice that, you will also literally experience what Jesus promised? You seek, you put God first in all your doings, and see if he will not do his part. You can never outdo God. Praise God. you know, what God said, if you do your part, his part is guaranteed. You know, so if he say you seek my kingdom first, choose the Lord as your chief joy, and let your heart be on him and not on these other things. You know, if you do that, he said, I will add these other things to you. It guaranteed. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, what is the reason? What are the additional reasons, you know, that God will give us messages like this? Well, number one, just like we said, to awaken something in us. And number two, to also let us know that we are the ones upon whom the end of the world is now come. It's not yet another generation. In fact, Paul was of the opinion that all of those things will take place in his time. Even when let's talk about the rapture. He said, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we shall alive and remain. He said we. He didn't say they. So when we talk about these things, we need to be using we rather than they. We, which are alive and remain. Paul, I was expecting that it will happen this time, but it didn't. Well, we, which are alive and remain. Not they. And I'm going to prophesy of some future. Yeah, it's upon us now. Praise the Lord. Now, the summary of what we have said today is that God promised something exciting, and it is happening already. Praise God. To start a little, I remember the years in the 70s when I was privileged to experience some powerful move of God in Nigeria back then. I mean, nobody really knew what was coming. We were just believing God on a daily basis. And it started out little. It was like a cloud that was the size of a man's hand. It was a little thing at first, but then it began to grow. And that's exactly what the Lord is doing again. Here a little, there a little. In Daniel chapter 2, he talked about the stone that was cut out of a mountain with our hands. At first it was a little thing, but then it grew to fill the whole earth. Well, it may not be a quantum leap in one day. The quantum leap is coming. But before that, even exercise yourself in the things that you already know. Wherein we've already attained, yeah, retain that. And then press forward for more. Hallelujah. So, bringing this right back around to our subject matter, which is readiness as we prepare for the coming of the Lord. This is something that the Lord promised that will happen at the end of the age. So, let's get into motion with the Lord. And when the Lord says it is time, well, let there be a desire in our hearts to understand these things, to make ourselves available, to say, yes, this man of God prophesied in one of his writings on scroll 61 and said, behold, I prophesy that the last move that we're talking about will come during a time of unparalleled trouble in the world. Famine, war, pestilence, earthquakes. Jesus even spoke about nation rising against nation, this and that and so forth. Storms of staggering proportions. We see all these things happening. He said all things will get worse even as the end nears. But here's the beautiful part. Yeah, there's always two handwritings. There's always two kinds of calendars. One that's flipping and showing gloomy and dark days, but another that's showing jumping joy and things. You know, international calamity will mingle with an awesome display of God's power. So side by side. just like God did in the beginning. The night and the day, you know, evening and the morning, the darkness and the light, left them side by side. So all of this evil happening will be mingled with an awesome display of God's power. This is the time. Hallelujah. And we must believe for the Lord's power moving. Unusual and strange demonstrations. Well, it's only unusual to people who think so, because we're not really walking in the things of God. That's why it's unusual. But when you begin to walk in the things of God, I remember those times in the 70s that I was talking about. It was commonplace. It was commonly reported every day, miracles of staggering proportions, even at times. You know. And then over the years, there has been a lull. But it's happening again. You know, it's kind of like a man that's building a great house. When he starts out, lays the foundation, there's a lot of excitement. And after a while, if he stops building, excitement stops for quite a while. And then towards the end, when he's about to finish it up again, excitement returns. Because now people can see that thing is about to be finished. You know, so excitement is returning. We are returning back to the place where miracles will actually not be too much considered as outlandish or strange or unusual or what we call supernatural. Well, it should be natural to us. You know, all these things are because we've wandered so far away from God. Return unto me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, when we return unto the Lord, then the happenings that we are talking about here, and we can talk about them more. We can talk about them for hours. But I want to wrap this lesson up today. These happenings will become natural. It'll be natural for you to pray and see results. It'll be natural for you to say something and expect it to happen. I mean, you will not be amazed when you decree a thing and you see it happen. You will not be amazed when you say something and God backs it up. I mean, you'll be used to it. You know, in fact, it become unnatural for you to say something in the name of the Lord and it doesn't happen. Because now you've learned how to walk with God. Glory to God. So, as part of our readiness for the coming of the Lord, we must enter into this last powerful revival. And it's happening already. It's been reported in different places here and there. And it could be happening in your life as well. When you begin to feel this awakening, when the Lord begins to move upon you early in the morning to get up and pray, you know, and so on and so forth, you know, well, that I respond. You know, that's it's happening. When your God prompts you to come into a room such as this, you hear words that can inspire, you know, this holy ambition in you. Well, you know, then, you know that it is happening. You know, when Brother Frizzy began to write his writings in the beginning, he said the impact of this book, there's an impact. It's going to generate a holy ambition in people who want to be first fruits and be among him, those who are going to experience this powerful work of God. We don't choose him. He chooses us. But it's our desire to be chosen of him, to be used of him. Now, in a great house, I round up by saying this, in a great house, there are many vessels, some unto honor and some unto dishonor. In my house here, same thing. In every house. I mean, you have commonplace vessels and you just throw them around anyhow. They're lying on the kitchen countertop and the dishwasher or all over the place. They're commonplace on top of the stove. But then there are some fine china in the china thing, cabinet. It's there. You bring those out, special occasions. Well, it's the same in every house. The scripture talks about it. You know, but, you know, we want to be those vessels of honor. There is always a mixture. Jesus said, let them both grow together until harvest time. Well, harvest time is here. The separating hour is here. Part of the things that will separate is which direction will they go? The true word of God or lying signs and wonders? You know, so that's it. And when you hear the word of God, will you respond positively? Or, like the Bible says, you know, they will, at the end of the age, have itching ears. They don't want to hear the truth. But they'll pile to themselves teachers that tell them what they want to hear. You know, and of course, those people take advantage of them. But you are not like that. Fear not, little flock. You know, and just like we may not be that many here, God has little flocks all over the place. Never think that you are the only one. Elijah thought that, but he was wrong. You're never the only one. You are just part of this small group. We're not the only one. You know, wherever God's doing this work, many places. I know that. You should know that too. But if you are privileged to be a part of this, you know, this is not some drama, you know, and some fables or, you know, Paul said, look, we are not preaching, you know, crafty tales and so forth like that. Cunning cables, I mean, fables and so on. We're preaching the word of God. This is sound doctrine. And I pray that the Lord will give everybody understanding and open your heart in expectation for what the Lord is set to do and is doing already. Jesus used to say, the hour is coming and now is. So we can say it the same way too. The hour is coming. We've been talking about that since the 70s, but now is. God is gathering his elect, you know, and getting them together and getting us prepared for his coming, for a glorious showing. David prayed, he said, Lord, forsake me not until I have shown thy power to this generation and thy glory to everyone that's to come. So that is our prayer. And I am going to pray over the room today. We will be ready. We're going all the way. And we will not die in the wilderness. We will not be those who came out but turned back. We're not turning back. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, anyone that puts his hands on the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Remember Lot's wife, Luke 17 and 32. She looked back and it did not end well for her. So we're going all the way. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for the word of God that we have shared today. We hope that it inspired a fire in somebody. Praise the Lord. And some lukewarmness will be turned into fire. Jesus said, I don't want you to be lukewarm. Be fired up. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we will be fired up. Jeremiah said, thy word is a fire in my bones. And the things that you have already started, well, the little that we have, we must use it. Don't bury that little while you're waiting for more. Use what you got. The one that buried his gift had it taken from him. But use it. And the Lord will bless you with even more. Step out by faith, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for these great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature. And Lord, we know that you have promised it, and when you say it is time, it is time. And so, Lord, it is time. We've heard you say it. Elijah said, I hear the sound of incoming rain. It's like an abundance of rain. I hear it, even though there was nothing seen at first. Lord, by faith, we also hear. In fact, we see. We can smell it too. What the Lord is cooking. And we are ready. Open our mouths wide that the Lord may feel it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glorify thyself even in the church, in the elect, and in our lives. And do that which is pleasing unto you. Let our entire lives be pleasing unto you to the glory of God. Cause us, Lord, to be full and perfect representatives for you in the name of Jesus. And I'll be declaring the coming of the Lord with power, even in our time. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.